Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility. Sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theatre performances, and other live events. Accessible Cinema.
Welcome to Fred Accessible Cinema, your periodical program on Fred about media accessibility and inclusion. To inform you about the status of accessibility in the media industry. The program will be on a rotation on our English channel, but also on Fred Entertainment and available on demand on Fred's website and in podcast. So, first of all, why this program? Well, I'm going to rely on estimates by the United Nations and the European Union to try to answer this question. First of all, the United Nations tell us that 1 in 6 people in the world have some form of sensory disability. Moving to the European context, well, the number of Europeans with disabilities is rising significantly, and it is expected that by 2020, approximately 120 million Europeans will have a disability. So, well, it is clear that when we talk about media accessibility, we are talking about something affecting millions of people. And if you know anything about this topic, well, then you know already that there is a convention dealing with sensory disabilities. This convention is called Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And maybe you also know already that among the 8 priority areas of the European Disability Strategy 2010-2020, we also find accessibility. That is, and I'm quoting now, making goods and services accessible to people with disabilities and promoting the market of assistive devices. This is just one of the many definitions that we have of accessibility today. So, let's go back to our question, why this program? Well, through this program, which, as I said, will have a regular slot, we will try, first of all, to raise awareness on this issue, but also to inform you about the many European projects currently being developed at academic level, as well as the status of the industry. So, in this program, we will have, sometimes physically and sometimes virtually with us, some of the major experts in media accessibility and from many different contexts. Academia, cinema industry, institutions, but also user groups, to mention just a few, and from different countries. So, let's start then with our first guest, Pablo Romero Fresco e Ramón y Cajal Grant Older at Universidad de Vigo in Spain, and also honorary professor of translation and filmmaking at the University of Roehampton in the UK. We are going to listen to an excerpt from an interview with Pablo by our Chiara Nicoletti about the first Media Accessibility Platform International Conference, which took place in Vigo, Spain, in October 2017. But Pablo will also tell us more about a fascinating notion, that is the notion of accessible filmmaking. So, let's listen to Pablo, and just let me remind you that the whole interview is available on Fred's website.
Actually, you organized the first conference that, you know, with MAP in Vigo, that took place in Vigo in October,
yes,
on the 5th and 6th. This was the first Media Accessibility Platform International Conference. What can you tell us about that, specifically? What were the main topics?
Well, the idea for that conference was to present the platform and to bring together some of the people who are working in this area. Normally, when we have conferences like this, most of the participants are researchers, but in this case, we brought together researchers, but also those who are working with regulators, with institutions like the European Union and the United Nations, or working for advocacy or for user groups, so that they could share the same place with researchers and they could hear one another and see what kind of potential collaboration can come out of that.
And what happened? What are the results of this first conference?
It was very interesting. We had some action points that were passed on to the European Union and the United Nations, and they're being considered for kind of further legislations that are being planned at the moment. So we thought that it was a very successful event, and we would like to organize the forthcoming editions soon, but we still haven't decided where and when.
Plus, I don't want to, I want to, you already told me that, but I just want to remind our listeners that you're also a filmmaker, so you're working on accessible filmmaking, which aims to integrate translation accessibility as part of the filmmaking process. You also did, with your first documentary, Joining the Dots, it was used by Netflix, right, and schools around Europe to help raise awareness about audio description.
Yes, that's
right. Are you working on something else at the moment, you know, as filmmaking
from apart? Yeah. I'm working on a long feature documentary that we've been working on for the past 3 years, and that's it's called Where Memory Ends, and we're editing it now. And it's a film with a historian called Ian Gibson, who is the person who has been the biographer for the three most important artists in Spain in the 20th century, Salvador Dali, Luis Buñuel, filmmaker Luis Buñuel, and Federico García Lorca. Ian Gibson is now very, very close to finally finding the remains of García Lorca in Granada. He knows where they are, but he's not had permission yet to find them. But it looks like now we're very close to finding them, and we are documenting this because it could be the beginning of a new stage in the country, as a symbol of all the people who have been buried after the Civil War and have not been looked for. So it looks like there's a new stage, there's a new era in the country now, for us to finally kind of face up to what happened. And we're trying to, and we're basically making this documentary with the person who's leading this process, and who's very close to, after 65 years of work, finding those remains of Federico García Lorca and opening up this new state in the country. So this will be an accessible documentary, and we have integrated notions of translation and accessibility from the very first moment from pre-production.
Yes, because from what I understood from all these programs and you know, it's radio programs, it's the most important thing is to start working on accessibility from the moment you write the film, basically. You know, the more you start, the earlier you start, the better it is.
Yes, because basically what we do is we make the film bearing in mind not just the original audience, but the fact that it's going to be viewed by foreign viewers, by deaf viewers, by blind viewers, and we just take that into account as we're making the film. In our case, for example, our protagonist speaks both in English and Spanish, therefore we know that any version of the film, even the original, is going to have subtitles. So that means that when we are planning the shots, when we're filming, we take into account that there are going to be subtitles, we think about them, and we try to give the foreign, the deaf and the blind audience as similar an experience as possible to the viewers of the original version.
Okay, so in time for Venice, you don't know.
Hopefully. One of the I would have hoped so, but it's not within my control because it's not with the BFI. But we are applying the accessible filmmaking principles in many films. In one of them, I mean, we've done it with the documentary Notes on Blindness, which was a very successful last year. And the filmmakers who made that film are now working on a new film about Chaplin, which is meant to be a big film, and it will be presented in several festivals, maybe Venice as well, the next year. So we're hoping to organize events where we can present the guide alongside examples of how it's been implemented.
So we have just listened to an excerpt from an interview by our Chiara Nicoletti with Pablo Romero Fresco and Ramón y Cajal, Grand Older at Universidad de Vigo in Spain, and Honorary Professor of Translation and Filmmaking at the University of Roehampton in the UK. Pablo presented the first Media Accessibility Platform International Conference, which took place in Vigo in 2017, and which aimed, as Pablo said, to map media accessibility in Europe and beyond. Pablo also told us more about the notion of accessible filmmaking, which is, as Pablo said, a potential way to integrate media accessibility during the filmmaking process. The whole interview is available on Fred's website.
Fred Film Radio. Accessible cinema.
So now let's move from Spain to Poland, where we find Agnieszka Sarkowska, Assistant Professor in the Institute of Applied Linguistics, University of Warsaw. We are going to listen to an excerpt from an interview with Agnieszka, mainly about a two-year project she conducted in the UK at the Centre for Translation Studies, University College London, and titled Exploring Subtitle Reading with Eye Tracking Technology. So let's then fly to Poland, and if you want to listen to the whole interview with Agnieszka, you'll find it on Fred's website.
How can we define media accessibility today, Agnieszka?
I think it's a very good question, and it was... When I look back, I think media accessibility, from our perspective, was sitting in audiovisual translation. So we had this larger umbrella term of translation studies, and within translation studies, we were audiovisual translation people, AVT. And then there was this marginalized area, which was called media accessibility. That was a couple of years ago, many years ago. And now... I think a lot of people are starting to say, and I think it was started by like Gian Maria Greco and Pablo Romero Fresco and many other people, like they started to say, well, maybe media accessibility is actually a larger umbrella term that includes audiovisual translation. And I think even Jorge Díaz-Sintas wrote it in one of his papers that accessibility is providing services, providing content for people who wouldn't otherwise have access to something. So when you think about regular translation like subtitling or dubbing, and you're providing content to people who wouldn't understand the film without this, so it's form. yeah so it's like flipping over the original definition, actually. And so that's the idea. This is what we've been talking about recently. It hasn't actually found its realization into structures like the university structure, departmental structure. So that's far from there, but we're going there, hopefully.
Okay, so we can say that the expression media accessibility has been shaped by the evolving expectations of users and the emergence of new needs at both European and national levels. So what is the current situation regarding media accessibility, both in academic and non-academic contexts, Agnieszka?
All right. Lots of things going on. There's been a number of projects, academic projects and not only academic projects. So in the academia, we're trying to come up with different solutions to be at the forefront of things.
But what is the main project you are currently working on?
Yes, so for the last, almost last 2 years, I've been in London at UCL working on the project, an eye-tracking project on the quality of subtitles. And I've been trying to find out about optimum reading speeds or subtitle presentation rates, or how fast or how slow should subtitles be. So that was one big part of the project. And another part was segmentation or line breaks, or basically how the words should be arranged within a subtitle so that subtitles are easy to read. And we tested almost 100 people last year in London. So we tested hearing English people who are not really familiar with interlingual subtitles. We tested a group of Spanish speakers who we thought have a lot of experience with dubbing. So again, are not really used to watching films with subtitles. And then we also tested a group of Polish people. There's plenty of Polish people in London. and they were like exposed to subtitling mostly compared to the other groups, but also to voiceover as well. And we also had a group of deaf and hard of hearing English speakers. So a great variety of users, and we showed them different clips with subtitles at different speeds, mm-hmm. And we're trying to find out what the is there an optimum speed, or the question was also related to the reality of the current market with subtitles on Netflix being quite fast. Many people are saying this. So what we did in the project, we showed people very fast subtitles, medium-paced subtitles, and subtitles like that were quite slow for traditional media, mm-hmm. standard, like 6-second mm-hmm. subtitles. And quite surprisingly, we found out that people, like the vast majority of people that we tested, could cope with very fast subtitles, and they were very happy with those subtitles. So they didn't really realize that, you know, they didn't grasp the concept of speed. When we were asking, you know, were the subtitles too fast or too slow for you? And they're like, no, they were okay. So we showed them films with slow subtitles, and they said, yeah, the subtitles are fine. And we showed them clips with super fast subtitles, and it was like, yeah, that was great. So they didn't really notice differences. What they did notice were differences in how subtitles were synchronized with the audio. Mm-hmm. So if there were some mismatches, which happened with slow subtitles, mm-hmm. Because we like extended their duration to enable people to read them. So they weren't really happy about this, particularly in clips where they could understand the audio, which was in English, because we showed them clips in Hungarian, mm-hmm. which they couldn't understand. And then their preference was more for edited mm-hmm. subtitles. And then with English subtitles, they just wanted, you know, near verbatim. So that was quite surprising, actually.
That's interesting.
So we have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Agnieszka Sarkowska, assistant professor in the Institute of Applied Linguistics, University of Warsaw. She told us more about the project, the fascinating project, exploring subtitle reading with eye tracking technology, which, as Agnieszka said, aimed at studying the subtitling reading process in order to try to establish subtitle quality indicators regarding optimum presentation rates and layout. So Agnieszka presented the interesting results of this study, which of course will also benefit end users. But if you miss them, you can find the whole interview on Fred's website.
Fred Film Radio. Accessible cinema.
So, speaking of the importance of the user's perspective, we are now going to listen to an excerpt from an interview with Gian Maria Greco, again by our Chiara Nicoletti. Gian Maria Greco is Marie Slodowska Curie Individual Fellow, and he is a member of the Transmedia Catalonia Research Group at the Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona in Spain. Here, Gian Maria is carrying out the project Understanding Media Accessibility Quality, which will be the main focus of the interview. So let's listen to Gian Maria, and as usual, you'll find the whole interview on Fred's website.
The conference, let's remind the listeners that the conference just took place in Barcelona from the 4th to the 5th of June. So more than 40 speakers were there from four continents. And as you were telling me before starting the interview, yes, the aim of the project is to define quality, but also to build a community discussing, you know, on media quality. I mean, so how was the event in terms of building a community? What was the result?
Yeah, it was
great, lively, lovely, intense days, 2 days, with, as you said, over 40 speakers from all over the world, basically. Yeah. And we were able to attract people from experts, from broadcasters, end users as organizations, scholars, companies, access service providers, regulators, and so on. So really the whole accessibility value chain was there when it comes to media accessibility. All the key actors, the representatives of the key actors were there, and this made UMAC, the UMAC conference, a unicum, a first play, the very first venue to gather all the different actors and let them discuss face to face their issues. There, because are issues that each one has in its, you know,
yes, in its
work, but are also issues that each one has with the other actors that usually are seen, are interpreted also as kind of opponents. They are not always looked at part of a family, but that's because there are very different points of view on quality. In the end, what is quality, you know? So it's it was a really a fantastic event, very dense. It was a success, and we were able to have and witness so many points of view, and we had very lively discussions at the end of every session. So that's, I think, it's always a good sign.
Yes, and I have to remember my whole experience with all of you media accessibility people is from your side, and I found that a community was already there. So I guess and I imagine that UMAC only improved this feeling of being like a community, a family that works together for a purpose. So that was really strong, the connection between all of you. So that was something that I really enjoyed being into and being accepted into, even if it was temporary.
So we have just listened to an excerpt from an interview by our Chiara Nicoletti with Gian Maria Greco, Marie Slodowska Curie Individual Fellow, and a member of the Transmedia Catalonia Research Group at the Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona in Spain. Gian Maria presented the UMAC conference, acronym for Understanding Media Accessibility Quality, which aimed at gathering together, as Gian Maria said, all the key actors involved in research on quality in media accessibility and its implementation in industry and policy. So, if you want to know more about this conference and about Gian Maria's research, then the whole interview is available on Fred's website.
Fred Film Radio. Accessible cinema.
As I said, Gian Maria Greco is a member of the Transmedia Catalonia Research Group. And our next guest is another Transmedia's member, that is Anna Matamala, senior lecturer at the Department of Translation and Interpreting at the Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona. We are going to listen to an excerpt taken from an interview with Anna. If you don't know what the Accessible Culture and Training Project is about, then you can't miss this interview. Let's listen to Anna then, and the whole interview is available on Fred's website. What is the current situation regarding media accessibility, especially in academic context, since you are a researcher?
Well, I think that in the last 10, 15 years, a lot has been done on media accessibility. I was telling you about the fact that, I mean, 15 years ago, I didn't know anything about it, although there were some already practices.
Mm-hmm.
Media access services have expanded, and media access research has expanded a lot.
Right.
So I would say that at the beginning, We were more interested in describing the situation. So our research was more descriptive. What's happening in this country, in that country? How do we do, subtitles or audio description? Then we moved, and we are still there, to more experimental research. So we are interested on how the end users receive those access services. And also, a very interesting evolution more recently is the technological component. So technology is more and more present in media. How do users interact with that technology? How do we integrate access service in new technological developments? So I would say that we've done a lot. Our methodologies, the way we research, has improved enormously, but there are still lots of things to be done research-wise.
Okay, so we can say that we are bridging the gap between research and practice. So, Anna, how do you involve other stakeholders from non-academic contexts in your work?
I will say a slogan, a phrase that we often use, which is nothing about us without us.
So, Anna, could you please tell us more about this project?
Well, this project, Accessible Culture and Training, is a project led by Pilar Orero at UAB, and it will finish very soon. We are in the last year, and in this project, what we tried is to define the profile of the accessibility manager for the Scenicards. Okay, let me put an example. You work in a theater, okay? Mm-hmm. And you want to provide accessible performances. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, theaters don't have a person dealing with accessibility, okay? So we need someone in that theater who knows what access services need to be offered, how I can contact a service provider, how can I cater for the user needs, etc. So there is really a need to have an expert in accessibility in the Scenicards. Mm-hmm. And this person can be based in a theater, work in a cultural venue, in an opera house, whatever, or maybe can be someone coordinating different places, mm-hmm. different centers. So to define that accessibility manager profile, what we did was together with many partners, check what's being done at European level. Then we defined the skills and competencies that managers should have. Mm-hmm. We designed a curriculum. So if a university wants to offer some training, what they should offer. And that's very, very interesting, we've developed a MOOC, a massive open online course, mm-hmm. which is now already available on Coursera. So if I may add a commercial here.
Yes, of course.
Yes, go and check that course on Coursera. It's free. And it will allow you to get in a few weeks, the needed training to become an accessibility manager. So that was the central thing in the project. And if I may add, the project has also worked on certification. So if you want to become a certified accessibility manager, the mm-hmm. project has taken all the steps needed so that in the future, this can be offered by ECQA. And we've done a couple of things more. Mm-hmm. One thing is that we've created guidelines on how to implement an accessibility policy for the Scenicards. And this has been possible because there was a partner from the Catalan government and a partner from a Flemish agency. And finally, we've also discussed a quality label. Let me explain that to you. Sometimes you see that a company is, environmentally friendly, mm-hmm. and maybe they've got like a label, a quality label. So maybe we could create also a quality label for theaters, opera houses, etc., referring to their access services. So this is a proposal we'll make within this project.
So, we have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Anna Matamala, senior lecturer at the Department of Translation and Interpreting at the Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona and a member of the Transmedia Catalonia Research Group. Anna presented the Accessible Culture and Training Project, which proposes, as Anna said, the definition of a new professional profile, that of the Media Accessibility Expert Manager for the Scenic Arts, in order to promote equal opportunities and accessibility to cultural events. So, do you want to know how this project is going to achieve these goals? Then you must listen to the whole interview, which is available on Fred's website.
Fred Film Radio. Accessible cinema.
Speaking of cultural events, Opera Theatre is definitely one of them. And today we have the opportunity to listen to Elena Di Giovanni, Associate Professor of English Translation at the University of Macerata in Italy. She's Coordinator of Accessibility Services for the Macerata Opera Festival in Italy. In 2017, this project on accessibility to live events brought almost 300 persons with sensory disabilities to the Opera Festival. So, let's listen to Elena then. The whole interview is, of course, available on Fred's website. Okay, so speaking of non-academic context and media accessibility, could you please tell us more about the Macerata Opera Festival?
The Macerata Opera Festival is very dear to me. It's like a baby that I've seen grow over the years. The whole experience started in 2008, and it was one of the very first in Italy. And it's been evolving since. We've been adding services, we've been inviting more people to join us, and for this year we are going to have three full accessible days, and over 3 days we're expecting about 200 blind people and 50 deaf people. We started with a program for the deaf just last year, whereas for the blind we've been offering services for 10 years. The services that we offer are thematic touch tours and audio description, audio introduction, which is made available before the performance.
What is the difference between audio introduction and audio description?
Yeah, good point. Audio introduction helps you understand the full production, the production and the show that is going to be on stage, by telling you about the settings, the costumes, the context for the production, so all the basic information. Audio description is what comes afterwards, with short descriptions that come during the performance itself. And for the deaf, we're going to have sign language tours, assistive listening that is provided for them, and then they also have surtitles for all the performances. And so we are expecting more and more deaf people this year and the next year too, possibly.
So you've just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Elena Di Giovanni, Associate Professor of English Translation at the University of Macerata, Italy, and Coordinator of Accessibility Services for the Macerata Opera Festival in Italy. If you want to know more about audio description, assistive listening and surtitles at Macerata Opera Festival, well, don't miss the whole interview with Elena, which is available on Fred's website.
Fred Film Radio. Accessible cinema.
So, as you can see, there are a lot of projects going on media accessibility, which have produced a massive amount of data, but most of them cannot be easily found and accessed. So the Media Accessibility Platform has been designed and created specifically to rise to this challenge. So let's listen again to Pablo Romero Fresco, now speaking about MAP, acronym for Media Accessibility Platform. The whole interview is available on Fred's website.
So you're also the leader of MAP, Media Accessibility Platform, that you founded together with three researchers, Gian Maria Greco, Anna Matamala, Pilar Orrero. What is MAP and what's its purpose, mission, vision?
Well, MAP is a platform that intends to bring together and act as a repository for the large and very vast amount of information available around the world about media accessibility, whether it is to do with training, research, even practice or legislation. We found that a lot of work is being done in this area, but sometimes it's a little bit fragmented. So we wanted to have a little bit of a, if you like, a house where we can host that information, and it becomes a reference for people who want to find out more about the area and what's been done on this area around the world.
It's an house and it's a family and it's a network.
Yes, that's the plan, yeah, exactly. Bringing together researchers, practitioners, and whoever needs to find more information about this.
We have just listened to an excerpt from an interview with Pablo Romero Fresco and Ramoni Cajal, grant holder at Universidad de Vigo in Spain and honorary professor of translation and filmmaking at the University of Roehampton in the UK. He presented MAP, acronym for Media Accessibility Platform, mapaccess.org, the first collaborative online platform, as Pablo said, where we can find information on the history and the state of the art of research, policies, training, practices in the field, and so on. This is in line with what we would like to do with this program, that is raising awareness on media accessibility, but also informing you about the many European projects currently being developed at academic level, as well as the status of the industry, thanks to the help of some of the major experts in media accessibility from different contexts and from different countries. So, bye for now. This is Francesca Raffi and this is Fred Accessible Cinema on Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. Fred Film Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility. Sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theatre performances and other live events. Accessible Cinema.